to see which characters from the Advent account most people identify with. So how many of you think it's Mary, the key person in the story? How many of you think Joseph? How about the three wise guys? Well, according to the survey, oh, by the way, anybody for Herod? No, we don't want Herod. Not surprisingly, in this survey, the shepherds came out on top by far as the most notable character from the account. So today we're going to revisit the nativity story, but this time we're going to focus not so much on the angels, but we're going to look at their audience, the shepherds. So we're going to begin by some of the same verses from last week. So grab your Bibles, flip them open, because I know you're already doing that. And we're still in Luke. We're still in Luke chapter 2. And our text today will be 8 through 20. But let's begin with a word of prayer. And going backwards and forwards, always remember to pray before you dive into God's word. Heavenly Father, you have given us your word for teaching, rebuking, and correcting in all righteousness. So as we delve into the written word, Father, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds, soften our hearts if need be, so that we might become better examples to the world of who you would have us be. So bless our time in the word, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's begin with a little recap from last week. This was our text from last week, but I'm going to kind of read through it quick just to give you context. So in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you this is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." So that's what we talked about last week. And we talked about how the angels fit into all this thing and who the angels were. But now we're in the same scene. I read that from last week because I want you to be there on that night. You're outdoors. You're with your sheep, keeping an eye. There's not much to do. You sit around the campfire, and you just make sure the wolves don't come in. And it's quiet, and it's peaceful. And suddenly the heavens open up, and you have this great choir of angels, and they're making this terrific proclamation. So what I want to talk about today is, so how did these guys react? Now, we noticed that they had fear, but the angels kind of comforted them. But what did they do? What did they do? And that's where we want to go with this. Shepherds received news about the gift that still goes on, that still keeps giving. And because of what they did with this gift, we too can sing that song, Joy to the World. I find it very interesting that God chose to send the birth announcement about his son to shepherds. We don't fully understand the significance of that. The shepherds in that culture were something kind of not great. Scripture doesn't tell us much about them, just that they were shepherds out in the field. See, shepherds came from the lowest class of people in that culture, coming in just ahead of the lepers. In the Talmud, which is a collection of interpretations and insights from the rabbis over the years, we read these words: "No help is to be given to heathen or shepherds." So you see, in this culture, the shepherds were just the lowest rung of the ladder. You can almost think of when you drive down the streets in some place and you see these tent encampments and the RVs that are parked and these people that are shuffling around and all that. And this is the image that you need to have about shepherds. Oh, yeah, they served an important purpose. But isn't that always true that a lot of times the people that do a lot of the grunt work in our society, we kind of don't think much of those? Have you ever had a friend that you hung out with and associated with who drove the garbage truck. Yeah, we don't really, even though that now they stay in the truck the whole time. If you told somebody that, what do you do? Well, I'm the garbage guy. I collect up garbage. They're just, they're not the kind of people that in this polite society that you esteem very highly. And yet this is who God chose to send this most important message. They were even considered ceremonially unclean. Because of the nature of the work, they were unable to attend any religious services. They were isolated and forgotten. Because their flocks needed to move around to find new grass and fresh water, they never stayed in place for very long. They were treated with contempt and mistrust. Their testimony, by the way, was not even allowed in court because they were so unreliable. And yet this is who God sent the message to. He sent the greatest message ever sent from heaven to a bunch of smelly shepherds. Actually, this isn't so unusual, is it? If you read extensively, if you spend time in Scripture, both Old and New Testament, God has always worked wonders for the forgotten, for the despised, and for the unworthy. From the very beginning of his time on earth, Jesus came to those who felt horrible and were humble. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 12 and 13, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. For I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners. It doesn't say now there were in the same region some scribes keeping watch over their scrolls. Doesn't say that. The Lord comes to the lowly, to the most undeserving, to the neglected and the marginalized in order to show his power. And he comes to sinners who need him more than anything. Whether the sinner thinks they need him or not, Jesus will come. And Jesus will make himself known to people. Now, what people do with that is a completely different subject. In Romans, it says, for the truth of the essence of God is proved by what is seen from the heavens above. There's enough information out there to know that there's a God who wants to talk to you. What you do about that is a different thing. So here we have the lowly, smelly shepherds that get this great, magnificent message directly from the angels. So now what? Notice that God came to those who were also attentive at the jobs they were given to do. They weren't slackers, and he met them right where they were. Likewise, whatever God has called you to do, be attentive to it and do it with excellence. It doesn't matter what your job is. There is no lowly job in God's eyes. It says in the scriptures that you should do everything as unto the Lord. No matter what you do, you should do it to please the Lord. Work has been given to us from the very beginning. Adam and Eve were created. Adam's task, his job assignment from the very beginning, was to maintain and take care of the garden. Work is a good thing, and it doesn't matter what you do. But whatever it is you do, do it to the very best of your ability. And that translates into what you do in your church. You know, we talk every week about we just need volunteers to do everything. Whatever it is you do, do it as if unto the Lord. If you've taken on a job in the church and you can't be there, then take it on yourself to find somebody to fill in for you. You see what I mean? Do everything as unto the Lord, because that pleases him. And we are to be as pleasing in the eyes of the Lord as we can possibly be. So whatever God has called you to do, be attentive to it. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if working for the Lord and not men. So these shepherds didn't just accept and enjoy the message they received, though. They acted upon it. As we move forward in our text, it says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherd says to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. So instead of the light goes away, the angels are gone, instead of the guys leaning back around the campfire and say, so listen, Jeremiah, what did you think about that? Well, that was pretty cool, wasn't it? Do we have anything to eat? No, they got moving. When God puts something on your heart, it's for you to do something. And these guys got up right away. They listened to what the message was. Unto you this day a child is born in the city of David. So what do? Let's go to Bethlehem and let's go see this thing. So first of all, they believed the angelic message. They took it seriously and they acted upon it. And they went with haste. It's interesting that they use that terminology. Different translations treat that a little differently. But it says they went with haste. They got moving. They got going. Now, this is pretty amazing in itself because shepherds didn't typically do anything in a hurry. They're used to just sort of sitting around, and when it was time to move the flocks, they would kind of push them along and they'd follow them. Sheep do not move really fast unless there's wolves around. But they would kind of meander around, so they're being in haste is not really their thing. They were patient men. They were accustomed to moving slowly through the pastures. The Bible is clear that acceptance, though, must lead to action. Let me say that again. The Bible is very clear that accepting leads to action. So you can't say, well, you know, I follow Jesus Christ. Okay. So what are you doing about that? And we look into James, it's a very famous saying. James 2:17 says it this way. So also faith by itself does not have works. It is dead. Now, there's a lot of confusion about that passage. So it says here that we're supposed to have works. That's not what that passage is saying. What it's saying is, if you claim, and now listen, this applies to you and I. If you say that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and there is no evidence of that in your life, then you yourself ought to question whether you are in fact a follower of Christ. Because the acceptance of Jesus Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, means that you are no longer the same. You are a new creature in Christ, as Paul says this in Corinthians. You are a new creation. You have been made new. In Ephesians, when it says you've been saved by grace through faith, not by works, so that none may boast. But he goes on to say, but you've been saved for works that were prepared for you before the foundation of the word, of the earth. So it is that's a clear in Scripture that to claim the name of Jesus Christ and have no evidence of it in your life calls into question whether you have actually made that claim true. So it's not enough to say that you are a Christian. Because if someone looks at you and you claim to be a Christian and there isn't anything Christianly about you, I actually don't know if Christianly is a word, but I think you're with me. And what do I mean by that? You got to walk around with your Bible all the time and spout Scripture to everybody every 5 seconds? No, that's not what it means. But a Christian is supposed to be different than the world. You're supposed to have something about you that makes people wonder what's going on. You know, we talk all the time about carrying your sword with you. Those of you who haven't heard this before, I was given the little Bible many, many years ago. Forgive me if you've heard this. I was given this little $4 giveaway Bible, but the admonition was, I will give you this if you never, ever go anywhere without this on your person. I didn't think much about that. Because quite honestly, even when this was given to me 22 years ago, I looked at it 22 years ago and said, that's kind of hard to read. But I took it and I said, okay, I will take it and I'm going to never go anywhere. I wore out the cover and I went and paid a stupid amount of money to get it rebound. But this little Bible has been to Russia, it's been to Africa, it's been to the Apache Indian Reservation, it's been to India. It's been to Israel twice. And in all of those 20 some odd years, there's only been probably a half a dozen times where it mattered that I had a little tiny Bible in my pocket. But every time it mattered, it really mattered. Someone would say, you know, it says in the Bible X. I said, well, and you reach in your pocket, you pull up this little tiny Bible. I said, so where exactly does it say that? And you watch people go, oh, I don't know. I told you once that my mother passed away. It was a couple of months later. They were going to intern the ashes, and we weren't going to have a graveside service at all. I just told them, you know, I want to be there when they do it. And so they gave me the date, and I went up there. And I walk up there, and my sisters came along because we just wanted to see the interment of the ashes. And they had the little tent set up, and they had all the chairs and the carpet and all kinds of stuff set up. And my relatives walked over and sat down in the chairs, and they looked at me. But I reached in my pocket and pulled out a little Bible. You see, if something as small as that demonstrates that you're serious about this, that you've actually taken some action about that, there must be action. Look at the shepherds. These guys are known in the culture for being sort of the layabout, not pretty much in a hurry to go anywhere, but when they heard this message, their first reaction is, we got to go check this out. And off they go to go find out if there was any truth to this. Now, after they've gone, it says they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. But you see, they didn't even hang around the manger because they knew that they were now managers of the message. Let me say that again. They realized now that they were going to be managers of the message. The angels deliver the message to them. They go off and verify that it's true, and immediately they understand that now they've got to do something. They didn't hang around. That the message they shared, notice that the message they shared had nothing to do with seeing the angels. There's no reference to Mary's magnificence or Joseph's job. I always found it interesting that Joseph, who against all cultural norms, when his betrothed woman turns up with child, while he's certainly at one point ready to divorce her and move on, the angel comes and talks to him. And Joseph takes on the responsibility to raising this child, and yet we hear almost nothing about him. I have to say that if there's an example without detail in Scripture of one of the most dedicated men in the Bible, I would have to say it's Joseph. He raised this child, not his own physical child, knowing who he was. And he did it anyway. Men, how many of you would like to take on that job? But he did it because he believed. And the belief resulted in action. But the shepherds knew that this is not where their job was. Mary and Joseph were going to raise the child. They came to see him, and now they head out to herald the good news. Remember we talked about, we sang the song, Hark the Herald Angels? The herald angels, the messengers, the heralds. See, they realize that now they're the heralds. And they head out to do their job. So look what happens next. There we go. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. Let me stop right there. They went out and they told people what they had been told. They went out and they shared the good news. They took the word that had been given to them, and they immediately went out and they told what was told them concerning this child. How many of us are going out in this season of the Advent and telling people what you've been told about the Christmas child? But off the shepherds went. And it goes on, it says, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds were on the job. They were out and going. And remember, they're the lowest people in the culture. And they knew that people, as a general rule, didn't pay attention to them, but they knew that they had to go out and tell this story. And off they went. It's amazing that they would make that effort. The phrase made known means to make known in such a way that people can understand. Do you get that? They made known. So the implication, if in the original language, it was that they went out and they made it known in such a way that people would believe it. They actually became evangelists. The shepherds in the field suddenly go out and become an evangelist. Do you know that's what an evangelist is? You simply go out and tell people what you know to be true about Jesus. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to know your scriptures inside out and backwards. You just, like the shepherds, you need to be prepared to step up and make known what has been made known to you. What's cool here is that the shepherds went back to their same boring jobs, but they weren't the same inside anymore. They returned to where they started and were attentive again. After Christmas, we have to go back to the same routine, just like the shepherds, but now we can do so with rejoicing. Part of the Advent lighting and the anticipation and everything's leading up to the birth of the Christ, heaven forbid that January 1st, you should ever have the feeling like, whew, now that's over. And I bet there's at least, I'm not going to say how many people in this room, that actually has that feeling sometimes in January. Whew, that's all done. And I get it. We're human beings. I understand that. And for a period, maybe that's what we do. We kind of take a step back and rest. But by the time we are at least a week or so into January, we ought to be going back to what we just experienced in December and say, wow, my batteries are recharged. I'm going to be like the shepherds. I'm going to go out and make known to the world that Jesus Christ has come. That's the message of the text. They returned to where they started, and they were attentive again. Unfortunately, us, we go back to the same routine just like them, but we should do so with rejoicing. We are to rejoice right where we are, whatever job you're in, whatever work that you do. In our final text here, look at what it tells us. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Excuse me. After this season, do you go back and praise and glorify God because everything that we've seen and heard and talked about in these 4 weeks? That's what the shepherds did. So let me kind of wrap this up. In what area is God calling you to some action? That's the question. That's the question. The shepherds understood what their job was, and they went about the business. It's not enough to just say you have faith or to feel good about something. There comes a time that after seeing, we must be involved in sharing. Allow yourself this Advent season to adore Emmanuel as you glorify and praise him for all you've seen and heard. You can return to the same place tomorrow, but not as the same person. Do you want to take on the role of the shepherds? Here's some tips for you. I even have a list. Isn't this cool? The shepherds were changed forever, so let's all follow their example. Number one, be attentive to what God has called you to do. In the coming year, take a step back and take your job and put it over here. And this is going to sound really crazy, but take your family and set them over here just for the moment and ask yourself, what's God calling you to do? Because I guarantee you, if you really focus on what God wants you to do, your family will not be neglected. Because God's not like that. So be attentive to whatever it is that God wants you to do. Then it says, be awed by God's message to you. Don't lose the sense of joy and wonder that we get when we sing all the beautiful Christmas songs. Accept the gift of good news. Unto you this day in the city of David, a child is born who will be the Savior of his people. That's a gift to you. Act on what you know to be true. If you actually truly believe that Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, act accordingly. And finally, adore Emmanuel 24/7 in the coming year. Corrie Ten Boom is a very famous lady, a Christian writer. She had a famous saying. I'll close with this. If Jesus were born 1,000 times in Bethlehem and not in me, I would still be lost. It's time today to make sure that Jesus is born in us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us enough to send us this magnificent gift, that you love us enough that even in our sometimes blindness, you still want to lift us up. Father, inspire us with the Christmas story, that we would be like the lowly shepherds, that we would go out into the world and share the good news and make it known. We ask that you would inspire us and fill us with your Holy Spirit to do this work. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. So we'll have Kelly come up and lead us in our final song.
Okay, let's stand and sing together.
Shining in.